Hello, friends. Welcome to Read 'Em and Weep. It's me, your host, Sammy. I wanted to start this episode off with a sincere thank you to you guys. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned that I'm going to be playing the main event at the World Series this year for the first time ever. My action sold quick. It is sold out. And I just want to say thank you to all you guys who reached out, who invested. There's a couple of you who reached out and the action was already all gone. And I apologize for that. You know, I got to keep some for myself, obviously. But yeah, it's pretty cool to have that kind of support. And I will do my best to make you guys proud and see if I can spin it up in the big tourney. So here's to you guys. And here's to a good sweat coming up here at the World Series of Poker. My plan is to get into Vegas on the 1st of July, and then I believe I'm going to play the third flight, the third day one. I think that's on Wednesday, that week of July 4th, so that would be July 5th. So it should be awesome, should be a hell of an experience, and I'm glad I have a bunch of you along for the sweat. So again, thank you guys so much. Now, as for this episode is, I mean, at least for me, a bit of a Debbie Downer. So last weekend, my buddy Josh and I actually went and played a live World Series of Poker qualifier tournament. They ran one of these up at Thunder Valley, which is about an hour and a half, 2 hours away. And so we rolled up on Saturday night, played a 5-10 cash session at Stone's Gambling Hall on Saturday night, then played the tournament on Sunday at Thunder Valley. And I busted, I don't know, a couple hours in. So hopefully that's not a portending of what'll happen in the main, but I ended up playing some 2-5 after that. And all of the hands from today's podcast are from those two sessions. And they're all shitty hands for me. The common theme between these hands will be that I didn't run well in the hands, but I also played bad. And I just think that talking about these kinds of hands is important because that's poker, right? So much of this game is played on the fucking wire. And it's so easy to go from playing good and running pure, and then the next minute you're playing shitty and running like diarrhea. Everything is that thin in poker. And it doesn't matter how good you are, or how much you've studied, or how much success you've had in the past, etc. This kind of stuff happens to everybody. Unfortunately, it happened to me this past weekend. But I want to put these hands out there because there's things to learn from them. Obviously, you can't help the runouts in the hands, but there's always lessons to be learned, even when you're running bad. Because I think the truth is, sometimes a run bad is just like, oh yeah, you got it all in as a big favorite and you got dusted. What are you going to do? But there's other times where the runout doesn't favor you and you get unlucky, but you also compound that by not playing well through it. And I think the best players, or players that are playing really well at the time, are able to at least help mitigate the run bad by playing good through it, if that makes sense. So anyways, I have five hands for you. I'm going to go through them rather quick, but I'll kind of dwell on the important details, I think, the things that I could have done differently. Yeah, I hope you guys like them. I hope they're interesting. So enough pussyfooting around, my friends. Let's get into the hands. All right, hand one, 5-10 at Stone's Gambling Hall. I've been playing for about 2 hours and I'm doing well. I'm up about like 1K, playing really solid, playing well, playing within myself. Everything's great. There is, in this hand, there's an open from early position from one of the fish at the table. And it gets to me in the hijack, and I look down at pocket kings. So he opens to 30, and I 3-bet to 100. Now the spot at the table, the mark, I mean, he's just like playing 80% of hands. He's bluffing. He's making bad calls. I mean, this guy is just giving it away, and he is definitely the target of everybody at the table. He's got about 3K in front of him. I cover, and he cold calls my $100 3-bet on the button. It gets the original raiser and he calls and we go three ways. And this is a great situation for me. It's two fish and me with pocket kings. We love this. And we especially love to flop top set. It comes king 7-6 with two diamonds and I have pocket kings. So the original raiser, he checks and then it gets to me. And certainly with top set on a fairly draw heavy board, right? It's king 7-6 with two diamonds. I can absolutely continue betting here, but I decide to trap with my hand. Usually, if you're going to choose a set to trap with, it's top set because it removes so many combinations of other players being able to have top pair, i.e. there's only one king left in the deck. And then furthermore, the guy behind me is a known blaster. Like he's just known to blast off, and I want to take advantage of that. So the first guy checks and I check, and it gets to the mark at the table, and he just about pots it. He goes 275 and a 300. The first guy folds and he gets back to me, and this is just fucking delightful. There is nothing better than having top set against a blaster who's blasting. Now, I can obviously check raise here. He's usually got something he likes, but we're pretty deep. Like I said, we're about 3K deep. And so what I really want to do is lay the trap big time. I'm going to check call here and then let him blast the turn. And then I'm going to put in a giant raise and really get his ass stuck. All I need is no diamond to fall. So I check call the 275 and the turn does not come a diamond. It comes an eight. So king, 7-6, and then an 8. And yeah, this card brings in some straights, but they'd have to be gutter straights, or it would have to be like 5-4. And against this guy, these are just not things I'm really going to worry about. So I check and expect him to put in a big bet because there's like 850 in the pot, but he disappoints me by checking back. Fucking plan foiled. Hate it. The river now comes an even worse card. It comes an offsuit 5, putting 4 to the straight on board. So king 6-7, and then an 8 on the turn, and then a 5 on the river. Now there's about 850 in the pot. I decide to go about half pot. Even though any 9 or any 4 makes a straight, there's still a number of 2 pair combinations he can have, and I want to get value for those. I feel like if I check, he just checks back with 2 pair and I lose all this value at top set. And I freaking hate that. So I bet 400 into 850. And my fishy friend thinks about it for a long time. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah, this guy's going to call with some bullshit because that's what this guy does. But instead, he raises to 1500. And I think about it for a long time, you guys. I'm like, dude, I mean, this guy's just a straight up blaster. Like, I have top set. I kind of feel like I should call, but in the end, I just decide to fold because it's like, what bluffs are there? You know what I mean? Like, what is he bluffing with? And furthermore, even blasters, they don't just like raise rivers big all the time after someone's bet. Like, that's a really strong move. Blasters usually don't have that in them. They try to take advantage of the fact that people are not showing strength, and so they try to blow people off hands. They don't generally respond to strength by trying to bluff, especially on rivers, especially when there's 4 to the straight out there and I can have hands that complete the straight. So I just decide to fold, and he actually never showed, but he did tell me later. He's like, man, I was hoping you'd call. Like, I backed into it like in a really dirty way. Ha 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 ha. You know, it's like, okay, bro. But he seemed very genuine about it. So that was a good fold by me. But I think I made a pretty critical mistake in this hand. Now, I actually don't mind the full-on trap. I don't mind trapping on the flop and trying to get him really stuck on the turn, because against somebody who's going to put in money light, you only get so many opportunities at 3K stacks. And I think I had a real one here. So I don't mind that. But one of the things I don't like is my river bet. Betting 400 into 850 with pocket kings on king 7-6-8-5. Because part of what I was thinking was, yeah, I want this guy to be able to call with 2 pair, but what 2 pair does he have? Because think about it. If he had had 2 pair before the river, he would have kept on betting the turn. It's not like the guy's slowing down and playing pot control with like 7-6 or 7-8 or something like that. If he has 2 pair on the turn, he's going for it. So I'm basically saying, oh yeah, well, I want to try to get value from you on a rivered 2 pair. And there's just not that much rivered 2 pair. Like, yeah, there's some 6-5 and some 7-5 suited, but there's really not that many combinations of that. And even though this guy's really loose, I don't think he's playing like, you know, offsuit 7-5, like cold calling 3 bets. Like, he was really bad, but not quite that bad. And the other part is sometimes those hands even fold. Like, this guy, you know, maybe doesn't fold, but I mean, gosh, there's freaking 4 to the straight out there. If there's a board that this guy could fold 2 pair on, it's that. So I actually don't think betting the river is that great, because like I said, most of the hands that I'd want to try to get to call me would have barreled the turn. You know, if he had a set or 2 pair or something like that, he would have just kept betting on the turn. So he just doesn't have a lot of that. So I think my bet on the river was pretty misguided, and I could have just played the hand as a check call. Now, obviously, the way that this specific hand played out, it didn't really matter. If I check call, I lose. If I bet and he raises, the way it went down, I lose. You know, whatever. You know, frankly, it was just a bad run out. But even then, there are still some lessons to be learned from this hand. Did not play it well, alas. Okay, well, it definitely hurts to flop top set against the worst player at the table and lose a bunch of money. Don't love that. But the errors get compounded in future hands. Stay tuned for hand two. All right, hand two. This is the same orbit as hand one. This is just a few hands later. I am in the $10 blind, and it folds around to a middle position player. He seems like a good kind of professional level player. He's definitely a reg, and he opens to 35. A player in the cutoff, a good type player, calls him, and then it gets to me in the big blind. I look down at Jack 9 of diamonds, and I obviously call. So we go three ways to a flop, and I flop a goddamn flush, you guys. 10-6-4, all diamonds. I have Jack 9 of diamonds. So I lead with a check, the original razor checks, and then the flatter and the cutoff checks as well, and the flop checks through. So don't necessarily love that, but the turn comes really good for me. It comes a black deuce. So I have Jack 9 of diamonds. It comes 10-6-4, all diamonds. Flop checks through, and then a black deuce. I go about half pot because I need to start building a pot. I need to start getting some value, right? I go 50 into about 100, and only the original razor calls. So he calls, and the guy behind him folds, and we go heads up to a river, which is not a great card. It's the five of diamonds, putting a fourth diamond on board. I now decide to check, and he pots it. He goes 200 into about 200, and I now have a jack high flush. So he can have the queen, the king, or the ace to beat me. And I start thinking about the flop, and I think it would be interesting for him to not bet out on the flop if he had one of those big diamonds, if he had a unpaired hand like ace queen with the ace of diamonds or king queen with the queen of diamonds. I think a lot of those hands would c-bet the flop, but then again, it's three ways. So maybe he doesn't bet those hands. Maybe he's playing a little more judiciously, right? This guy's a pretty good, solid player. I'm not sure how good he is, but he might be doing some structuring and playing a little more passively in multi-way pots, which I think is probably theoretically proper. So maybe he does have those hands. But then again, if this guy's a pretty good player, he should probably have me pegged for a hand like 10X. Like top pair or even a weaker pair than that, because I just bet out on the turn when everybody checked and then I checked the river, right? So it looks like I don't really have that great of a hand. So he could have had some floats or some hands like that that, you know, are just trying to blow me off a hand that looks pretty weak. And so in the end, I decide there's only three cards in the deck that beat me, the king, queen, and the ace of diamonds. And I decide to make the call. And he turns over pocket aces with the ace of diamonds. So actually a really, really interesting hand, an interesting check back by him on the flop. I think that's pretty optional. I don't think checking is actually terrible, but I think most players would bet in his situation. So that definitely surprised me. Like I said, I actually thought that he would be barreling and c-betting all his unpaired ace of diamonds type of hand. So maybe that's true, but in this case, he had pocket aces. So it wasn't an unpaired ace, but he did have the ace of diamonds. So he played it pretty tricky and he won a pot from me. And, you know, definitely a little bit of run bad here to flop a flush against pocket aces with the ace of diamonds and end up getting beat on it, right? It could have easily been a hand where I won several hundred dollars in. But in the end, there was also some bad play by me, i.e. this river call. And I think the thing that makes it bad is, yes, I can be right that he would normally be betting all his ace of diamonds hands, at least his unpaired ace of diamonds hands, on the flop. And maybe that's true, because when he polarizes the river, like, is he even polarizing with like the queen of diamonds? Not really sure about that. But I think the mistake that I made in my thinking is, what hands is he floating with on the turn that don't get there on the river? Like, what floats are there? You know what I mean? Like, my whole bluff catch was predicated on the fact that he kind of called the turn with nothing. But the truth is, there's still a player left hacked behind him on the turn. So he's not just floating with air. And therefore, when he calls the turn and then bets big on the river, he almost always has it. In this case, he did. I'm a fucking payoff wizard. Fire me into the sun. Okay, that's hand two. Let's move on to hand three. All right, hand three. This is two shuffles later, so now I'm on the button. A very loose passive player straddles for 20, and it gets around to a pretty bad reg. I mean, he's, you know, kind of unimaginative, not really aggressive, you know, plays a little too loose, whatever. He opens to 60 in middle position. It gets to me on the button, and I peel ace king of hearts, and I love this. So I three bet to 200. So middle position 60, I go 200 on the button with ace king of hearts. Now the very loose, very passive straddle cold calls the 200, and so does the original raiser. So we go three ways to a flop, and it comes pretty good. It comes queen 3-3 with one heart, and I have ace king of hearts. So obviously I don't pair. An ace or a king would have been freaking great, but this is still a pretty good flop. So both players check to me, and I'm going to want to c-bet this almost all the time, and I'm going to want to do it for a small sizing. So I expect to not actually get a ton of folds here, but what I want to do is get these guys to put in money with kind of weak ranges. I think they're going to have a lot of pairs, you know, a lot of pocket eights, pocket nines, stuff like that on queen 3-3. And then also there will be some queens in their ranges, but not a ton of strong queens because with ace king, I block both ace queen and king queen. So there'll be some queen jack suited, maybe some queen 10 suited, hands that can't really hang on till the end if I blast off. So I already know this is kind of a blast off spot. I started this hand with about 2.1K. So I'd like lost a couple of hands in a row and I hadn't reloaded yet. So I c-bet about one third pot. I c-bet 200 into 600. And much to my dismay, both players call. So I was really hoping to get this pot heads up, or one can hope that both players would fold, but it didn't happen. They both call, and we go to an innocuous turn, an offsuit four. So queen 3-3 with one heart and then an offsuit four. So it doesn't give me anything, doesn't pick me up a heart draw, anything like that. They both check to me, but I decide to keep barreling. Now, at this point, I have about 1,700 left. And there's 1,200 in the pot. So I can either go small here again and then stuff river, or I can go big here and then not bluff the river. You know what I mean? Like if I go big here and I get called, I'm just going to give it up. And I decide to go with the second route. I go 700 into 1,200, and the big blind thinks about it for a little bit. This is the very loose, very passive guy, and he ends up folding his hand. And it gets back to the bad reg in middle position. And he thinks for a long time. And he makes the call. I'm like, fuck, man. Fuck. Because now I got to give it up. So the river comes a very bad card. It just comes another four. So I was hoping I could spike an ace or a king and just get really lucky. It didn't happen. Queen 3-3 and then running fours. He checks. And I only have about 1K left. And now there's about 2,600 in the pot. So I really don't think that any hand that he called with on the turn, he's all of a sudden going to fold on the river. So I stick with the plan and I check back, and he shows king queen offsuit for top pair with a king kicker, and I lose the hand. So yet again, I think this is a pretty good example of not really getting very lucky with the cards. You know, some guy with king queen offsuit called a three bet out of position against my ace king suited, a dominating hand in position, and he outflops me and I never get there. So that part's frustrating. Would have been really cool if we just flopped a king and then I just like got all the money, right? But I also think that like two things were not great with this bluffing line. First of all, I'm bluffing into multiple players. So certainly there's a time and a place for this, but when both players call on the flop, yeah, they both could have smaller pocket pairs, but a lot of times one's going to have a smaller pair and somebody's going to have at least a queen. And against these two guys, it's going to be pretty hard to get them off a queen. Like I said, if they had queen jack or queen 10, I could get them off by the river. But that really leads me into my second point here, which is that I didn't reload. One of the things that I think is especially important to do is always to have enough chips to play the way that you want to play it. I had the money in my pocket and I just kind of like didn't think about it. You know, I was still kind of reeling from losing these two previous hands and going from, you know, a nice big stack to a little bitch ass stack. And I didn't reload. And the right time to reload is when you're on the button, because that's when you would want to play the biggest pots when you have positions. So a lot of times if I get short, I'll wait until I'm on the button and then top off. And for whatever reason, I just didn't think about doing it here. And if I had, maybe I have enough chips to just do an all-in jam on the river and really put the screws to a hand like King Queen. I didn't. And I left myself with no outs. You know, I just had to take one shot on the turn. And if I got called there, I had to give it up. That's exactly what happened. And I lost the pot. Do not love it. So these hands, like I said, hands one through three all happen in the span of like one orbit, essentially, where everything was going right all the way up until the time it didn't. And I ended up booking a pretty solid loss in this 5-10 session at Stones on Saturday night. Went and played the $1,100 qualifier, busted out of that. Then I went and played some 2-5 cash at Thunder Valley. That's where hands four and five will come in. Stay tuned for those. All right, hand four. This is from 2-5 at Thunder Valley. And let me tell you guys, this table is live. Like, these guys are gambling it up. It is a really loose, action-y table. The players are all bad. This is a great situation for me to finish off the trip strong. In this hand, I am third to act, and under the gun raises to 20, and then under the gun one calls the 20. And I'm next to act, and I look down at ace-king offsuit, and I 3-bet to 90. Now a really loose guy on the button cold calls, and both the first two guys call as well, and we go four ways to a flop, and I'm hoping for an ace or a king, and my friends, I get it. King 4-3 rainbow. Great flop. King 4-3 rainbow, I have ace king. Under the gun and under the gun one both check to me. There's about 360 in the pot, and I go 150, so about 40% pot. The button folds, under the gun folds, and then under the gun one, who had flatted the 20 and then flatted my 90 after everybody else called two, he calls again. The turn comes an offsuit jack. The jack isn't an especially scary card for me, and he checks it to me, and there's about 660 in the pot, and I have like 750 left in my stack, so a little more than a pot size bet, and I decide to actually check back. And my thinking with checking back is that I've actually run out of a decent amount of value here, right? The flop was King 4-3. Yes, I can still get value from King X, although now King Jack beats me, but a hand like King Queen or maybe a hand like King 10, yeah, I can still get value from those hands, but they aren't super likely. And then certainly any draws that are out there. But the reality is there's not that many draws, right? On King 4-3, there's like 5-6 suited that has an open ender. And then there's like Ace Deuce and Ace 5 that have an ace and a gutter. And those hands are actually somewhat likely, but those are actually pretty good hands for me to go against, because if an ace peels on the river, I can get a lot more value. Whereas if I bet the turn, they just fold out. And then he's got a lot of other hands that just fold out as well, because when he double flats preflop, a lot of his hands are going to be small pairs. So he's going to have a lot of hands like sevens, eights, hands like that, which just fold if I bet. And then he'll also have some sets, like some sets of fours and sets of threes that he's trying to trap with. And so betting doesn't really accomplish much against any of those hands, right? The pairs that are like sevens and eights or whatever, they just fold, and the sets, we just get all in and I'm broke and unhappy. So I decide to check back and see if I can squeeze out some value on the river or just call a bet if he ends up betting. And the river comes an offsuit deuce. So King 4-3, I have ace king, then an offsuit jack, and then an offsuit deuce. And now he leads into me 275. And this is a really bad turn of events, because two of the draws got there, right? Both ace five just made a wheel, and then 5-6 just made a straight. But I have top pair, top kicker. He bet less than half pot, right? There was about 660 in the pot. He bet 275, so I'm getting a really good price. I don't have to be good that often. He could have some bluffs, and then he could also have some value owns. Like, he could certainly be owning himself here with a hand like king queen or even king 10, trying to get value from like pocket queens or whatever he thinks I have. So I call the 275 and he rolls over 5-6 offsuit for the rivered straight. Ugh. This is so brutal. So this guy under the gun raised, and then he flats with 5-6 offsuit. Then I 3-bet, and then there's two other callers, and then he calls that with 5-6 offsuit and ends up rivering a straight against my top pair, top kicker. That's pretty unlucky. But I also played it bad. I don't want to be results-oriented, and I do think that some of my reasoning for betting the turn is right. However, I think it's wrong considering the stack sizes, right? I have a little more than a pot size bet on the turn. There's 660 in the pot and I've got like 750. So I've got a little more than a pot size bet left. I need to get it all in. So I should be betting again, and I should either be jamming or making a bet that sets up an easily callable all in on the river. I didn't do either of those. I fucking checked back and let this yokel draw out on me with 5-6 offsuit for free. He got to see both the turn and the river for $150 into a pot that was 360 on the flop. So was it a bad run out for me? Sure, but I let it happen, you know, and I have nobody to blame but myself. This is what happens when you're running bad. At least it's what happens to me when I start running bad, is I stop getting as aggressive as I need to be. And this is not a hard hand to get aggressive with. I have top pair, top kicker. But you start seeing a little bit of monsters under the bed. You start thinking, okay, how am I going to lose this pot? And I think part of my thinking was like, oh yeah, if he's got a set here, it really matches the way he's played, you know, just calling all these pre-flop bets and then check calling the turn. But when you have about a pot size bet left, it doesn't matter. You just get all the chips in. It's always correct to just get the chips in. I didn't, right? And there were some decent reasons why not to, but the reality is at a gambly, loose-ass table, you just bet for value relentlessly. They will make bad calls. Take advantage of those mistakes. I didn't hear. I paid the price. And then I paid his ass off on the river like a fucking idiot. I mean, Jesus H. Christ, I am something of a fucking idiot myself. Meme. Okay, that's hand four. We're going to finish it up with hand five. Stay tuned. All right, hand five. Still playing 2-5 at Thunder Valley. I've been getting my bungus pushed in for like the last 24 hours. I freaking hate it. But this time I open it up in early position to 20 with red sevens. Pocket sevens, I open to 20. A player behind me in middle position flats the 20. And then it gets to a really loose, really action-y guy in the cutoff. And he 3-bets to 120. It folds back around to me. And this is a pretty thin call because the loose action-y guy only has about $800 in front of him. And it's 100 for me to call. So I'm only getting 8 times my call to try to set mine here. And frankly, that's just not really enough. You want to have at least 10x your preflop call to be trying to set mine with pocket pairs. And that's kind of like the bare minimum. I mean, if you're out of position, it should be more like 15 or more. And so here, that's just pretty thin. But there's the guy I'm 1K effective with who had flatted the 20, and maybe he calls too. And I get into a multi-way spot where I can stack one of them or maybe even both of them if I flop a 7. So I decide to make a pretty loose call for another 100. Unfortunately, the guy who flatted my 20 folds, and I go heads up with the 3-better, but I do flop a set. I flop a set on 10-8-7 all clubs. So not exactly ideal, but I mean, shit, we've got a set. And he probably doesn't. I mean, yeah, he could be 3-betting pocket 10s, but for the most part, he's going to have over pairs, and then he'll have like ace king, ace queen. He seemed like more the type who liked to call a lot of raises and play really loose. So when he 3-bets, he generally has a pretty good hand. And then I see him do the check. So he looks at the board, and then he checks his hand, obviously checking to see if he has a club. So I checked to him and he bets 100 into about 250. And here I'm going to want to check raise because I'm going to want to have a lot of check raises on 10-8-7 all clubs. I'm going to want to check raise a lot of my ace of clubs hands. I'm going to want to check raise my two pairs. I'm going to check raise, you know, some of my 10 jacks and 10 nines because he's going to have hands that generally aren't able to continue, or maybe they continue one and on a turn brick, I can barrel them off, et cetera, et cetera. So I check raise to 320 and he thinks about it for a little bit and he ships in his 800. I snap it off and it's 10-8-7 with all clubs. The turn comes a red jack and then the river comes the nine of clubs. So I am actually left with the board. The board's a five straight. It's 10-8-7 jack nine, but it's got four clubs. So if he's got a club, I'm fucking dust. And he probably does. I just look at him and I'm like, yeah, dude, I have the board. And he turns over pocket aces with the ace of clubs and he wins with a flush. Ooh, boy. Things are not going well for your boy, Sammy. So obviously I flopped a set and lost. He had pocket aces with the ace of clubs. So he had pocket aces and the nut flush draw. So certainly he was not wrong to get it all in. Even so, I was a 2-to-1 favorite when we got all the money in and it did not hold. So obviously that was unlucky, but I still played this hand bad. That preflop call, calling 100 when the guy only had 800 to start, is just shitty. And what happens most of the time is I don't hit a set at all. You only flop a set like 12% of the time. What happens most of the time is I don't flop a set at all, and then he C bets and I have to fold, and I just lose my $100 when there wasn't really that big of a payoff to be had anyway. So, yep, got unlucky, but also played bad, and that was the story of these two sessions. I think I made critical mistakes in every hand. I also got pretty unlucky in every hand. And like I said at the top, I think that's how losing happens, at least to me personally, where, yeah, some bad things happen, but I also don't play my A game to get out of those situations or at least minimize the losses. In these hands, like, I don't think I played any of them very well at all. And when some bad luck happened, I ended up losing a lot more money than maybe I otherwise would have. So it sucks to suck. Let me tell you from experience, shitty ass poker trip for yours truly. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed the hands. And as my buddy Josh told me on the way home, don't worry about it, bro. You're saving all your run good for the main event. So let's hope that's true. Anyways, my friends, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you guys as always. And until the next time, just do the opposite of what I did in this session. Go out there and play good and run pure.